Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Saints, we are beginning a new sermon series today, and it's called Love Is. Amen. Love is the answer. And thank you, Debbie, for bringing us that song. And I'm going to be starting us out today. And I have to confess, Pastor Toby had mentioned in Spiritual Journey that as pastors, when we preach, sometimes the Lord helps us out with these messages by helping us to go through what we're going to preach about. So when we were talking about the future last month, this last 3 weeks, it was some hard days for us. And I kept having to say, Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I trust in you. So I was real happy to get to this love series. Lord, please let me feel like I'm in love so things won't be so hard. But wouldn't you know it, the Lord did test me and wonder, what is love? So I'm going to be starting us off by talking about help, I think I'm falling in love. Then we have one called, what are the dating rules? Then we're going to be talking about what happened in my marriage. And then we're going to find out the answer to the question, can divorce ever be the answer? Then we're going to wrap it up with Debbie. Debbie Chambers, our lay pastor, is going to close us with choosing to be single. So it's going to be a little bit of a different sermon series because lay pastor Debbie is going to be helping us out. So if you all would look in your bulletin, of course, there is not a sermon line outline inside of there, but there is one in the back if you want one. Just wave your hand. The ushers will bring one to you. What is the title of today's message? All right, I just told y'all this. All right. Praise God. Let us pray. I know we had talked about it. Some of you really appreciate the outlines, and some of you can do right without them. So whatever you feel is best. Let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, you are always the answer in our lives. And you give us the greatest amount of love, protection, security, and we thank you. As we listen to your word today, Lord, as we reflect upon how love is the answer to all the questions in our lives, we would pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes real good so that we can see you, open our ears that we may hear you, and most of all, open our hearts so that we can love and receive you. And we give you all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Now, saints, I realized something about myself and you all today is that there are some things in this world that we never, ever leave unprotected. We never leave our most valuable, our most prized possessions unprotected so someone else has the opportunity to take, steal, or destroy them. There are things like our purses, our wallets, our money, our jewelry, our cell phones. None of us ever leave our cell phones sitting around. Our laptop computers, we just don't leave that stuff sitting around. As I came up this morning and I threw those dollar bills down there and I left my purse sitting around there, I saw Debbie jump up and I was so glad she did. Because she saw the immediate value. She said, oh, that's money. She dropped her money. We can't just leave that sitting around like that. But saints, we don't leave those things behind. We watch out. Most of us don't leave our money sitting on the front porch. We don't leave our purses sitting on the car in the front seat when we get out because we know someone will break the window to get in. There are some things also that we protect that have nothing to do with materials. There are people in our lives that we protect. We just never leave our children sitting outside alone by themselves. Well, most of us don't. I hope we don't. But we don't leave our children where they can be hurt. We don't leave our senior citizens. How many of you would leave your 90-year-old grandmother sitting down in King Kennedy by herself? None of us would. We don't leave our animals unprotected in the cars. I remember when Pastor Toby used to have her dogs, and she would have them protected with their little coats on, and she would make sure the temperature in the car was right for the animals. We don't leave them unprotected. Our students, those of you that are in school, we value our books, especially when you pay for them. You never, ever, ever leave your biggest important essay sitting around where some little kid can come and color on it or do something crazy. We don't lose the notes for the final exam. We might lose every other note we ever had for school, but those notes for the final exam we keep up with. There's some important documents, saints. We don't just leave our birth certificate, our social security card, our driver's license, and our state ID or our bank books sitting around for anybody else to get. We guard these things. We make sure we protect them. These are items of value in our lives. Now, why do we guard these things? We do that because we know that if we don't, hurt, harm, and destruction will come. Things in our lives will be disrupted. Anybody ever had your purse stolen or your wallet stolen? Your whole life is messed up. You can't even function. So we know that without these things, if we do not guard them and protect them, they will affect us in a big way, saints. We know that we never leave these things of value unprotected. But let me ask you something. Why is it that we always leave our heart unprotected? Why is it that we do not guard our heart? You say, what, Pastor Kelly? Our heart? What are you talking about? Our heart? No one can get to my heart. It's buried deep inside, behind my rib cage. You can't get to my heart. But saints, we put our heart out there all the time. Our most valuable, our most prized part of our body, our heart, we do not guard. We do not protect. When God created us, saints, he said all of us were uniquely and wonderfully made. He said that you have value. More importantly, he went further and said, I'm going to give you something of value. I'm going to give you this organ called your heart, in which if you think about the science in your heart, everything in your body depends upon your heart. The heart pushes the blood all from the toes all the way up to the head. And if the heart is not functioning correctly, a part of your body will die because it's not getting adequate blood supply. So this most valuable organ, we do not guard. We do not take care of. Read this with me in Proverbs 4:23 from the TNIV version. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And then if we look at it from the NIV version, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything we do flows from our heart. Not just our blood. Everything about us flows from our heart. But even though we know that this value in our heart, that this organ is so valuable, that the center of us is so valuable, we take it for granted all the time. We fail to see just how important this area is in our lives. You see, saints, in that scripture, when it says above all else, that means that this is a number one priority. Number one priority. Not our purses, not our wallets, not our money, not our jewelry, not our laptop computers, not our bank books. God is saying our hearts are the number one priority. But saints, we keep everything else protected. We guard everything else in our lives. But when it comes to the heart, we lay our hearts out on the line. Have you ever heard that? Lay your heart out on the line. Put your heart out there. Put your heart into it. Follow your heart. And God is saying, guard your heart. But we listen to the world over and over again that continually tells us, put your heart out there for all the world to see. And God is saying, I never intended for all the world to see. That's why I protected it. And I put it in the deepest core of you, and I surrounded it by your lungs and by your rib cage so nothing else could get to it. You see, God created us in such a way that we are chemically drawn to each other. You see, when God created us in these things called hormones, he knew that there was going to have to be a way for me to look at you and you to look at me, and we said, there's something about that person. I kind of like that person. And so he chemically made us that when we would pass a certain person, we would stop and say, hey. Now you see, every time I'm walking down the street, I don't say hey to everybody, because I'm not chemically drawn to everybody. And I hope that when you're walking down the street, you don't stop and say hey to everybody either, because you're not chemically drawn to everybody. But there are some people that when you see that person, you start getting those butterflies in your stomach, your head turns, you start thinking like, that person looking kind of cute over there. You see, God gave us these hormones and these feelings, not so that we can use them in the way that we would desire, but so that we would be drawn together in marriage, and that those marriages would result in families. But you see, saints, we get things all confused. We start getting those hormone reactions and things start happening. And I know some of you may be thinking, you know, Pastor Kelly, this sermon might be more appropriate for some young people, for some teenagers. But what I've learned, saints, that some of our folks, once they get 40 and over, or even 30 and over, you got more chemical reactions going on than some of our teenagers. Sex becomes a whole lot more interesting because you're not worried about getting pregnant. You already had your kids. You're not worried about having no more kids. So sex becomes a whole new ball game. And we have these chemical reactions in that when we see a certain person, we start thinking, woo, I think I'm falling for them. I think I might be falling in love. And I would hope that all of us would scream out the words, help! Help me, Lord! Because some of us just say, hey, I'm falling in love, and we don't ask for any kind of help. You see, when we start getting those feelings can sometimes cause us to make the worst decisions ever. Anybody made the worst decisions ever because your heart told you to do that? Remember saying, I don't know why I did that. It's kind of lost my mind. It just felt so good, Pastor Kelly. You see, our hearts and those hormones can cause us to see imaginary people. And you may be saying, imaginary people, Pastor Kelly, I never see no imaginary people. But we all have seen the imaginary person. You see Mr. Right, and the rest of us see Mr. Crazy. Mr., I got a 50-page record in my background. Mr., I got debt that I just can't even get out of. Mr., I don't got a job. You see Mrs. Right, and the rest of us see Miss Rude and Obnoxious, who got a loud mouth, who can't get her life together. You see, that's how we all see imaginary people. Many of us, we will say to our friends or family, we see these people, we say, but I can talk to them on the phone for hours. My heart beats as one with this person. And the rest of us are saying, oh, you look like y'all stalking each other or something. Give each other some space. But we continually allow these chemical reactions, these hormones in our bodies, to get things mixed up. You see, when we feel those feelings, we think those feelings are going to last forever. Anybody married know those feelings ain't going to last forever? When we get those feelings, we think those feelings are going to create the best marriage ever. When we get those feelings, we think this person is going to give me safety. This person is going to keep me secure. And when we get those feelings, we start feeling real good. We start getting those romantic songs in our head, and we start feeling like, you know, let's get it on. And then we're ready to jump in the bed. But you see, we all need a little help about guarding our hearts. We all need to understand today that when we think that we are falling in love, the Bible gives us all a love test. And you may be saying, what love test? I never saw no love test in the Bible. But we see it all the time. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says love is. So all of us today, we're going to take a little love test. We're going to find out if we really in love. And you see, when you go home, some of you got a guy or a girl at home, and you may be kind of evaluating your relationship right now in your mind right here today. And I want you to know that sometimes when you approach somebody to take the love test, they're going to say, I don't want to take that. Well, you already know they failed. It's time to move on. As soon as you go to say, we should take this love test to see if we're really in love, and they say, we don't need no love test. You say, okay, I got to go. You failed. F, move on. So the love test is found in the book of Corinthians. And if you could put that scripture up from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love is portion, love is patient. And that's the first question. Love is patient. And when we're looking at love, want us to ask ourselves some questions. Love is patient. When you're looking at that person that you are saying, I love you so much, ask yourself the question, are we waiting? Can we wait until the right time? And not just the right time, can we wait until God's time? You see, love is patient. It's not in a rush. You see, I remember back when I was a teenager, and some of the guys, used to try to get that nice play on this. Oh, Kelly, we got to do this now. And I'm like, now? We at school. It wasn't the right time. That was real easy to see. But some of us can become so pressured. And it's not just the guys that are doing the pressuring. Some of the girls are putting a whole lot of pressure on the guys. And I realized with little T, it starts early. Little girls is after my baby already, y'all. He 5 years old. 4 girls don't declare love for 10. So I'm like, boy, come on over here with your mama. I'm the only one who love you, right? But love is patient. So ask your person that you think you're in love with, are you willing to wait? And I'm not talking about a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months. Can you wait a whole year? Can you wait some real significant time while we both discover if this is what God wants in our lives? If that person says no, he failed or she failed, move on. Next one says love is kind. Another word for kind is considerate. Love is considerate. So think about the person that you're with right now. Ask yourself, do they consider my needs? Do they consider how this is going to affect my life and their life before they make the decision that they're going to make? You see, often a person will act kind, they'll be all nice, but are they truly thinking about what you need and what is needed in the relationship? You see, someone who's considerate is going to think before they make a decision that affects you negatively. They're not just gonna go out and say, you know what, I'm about to spend up all the money today, because they know that's gonna affect you in a wrong way. They're not gonna just say, I'm gonna go out and commit a crime today, because they know that that's gonna affect you in the wrong way. You see, love is kind, it's considerate. Then we can move on to the next question. It says, love does not envy. Love does not envy. All of us have been in relationships where we kind of was a little mistrustful. We was wondering, are you seeing somebody else besides me? Or we was worried that something about another person looked better that would turn their heads. You see, we say to ourselves, are we thin enough? Do we have enough up top? Do we have enough in the back? Do we have enough that this person will love me? But you see, love does not envy. Love loves you as you are and not who someone else wants you to be. So ask yourself, is this person envious when I go spend some time with my friends? Is this person envious when I'm going to work or I'm going to school? Is this person envious every time I talk to another male or every time I talk to another female? Are they asking me what I'm doing? If that person can't do right in that question, time for them to go. Then it says, love does not boast. Have you ever had that person that you thought you were falling in love with that always said, you know how much money I make? You know what kind of car I drive? Look how good I dress. Anybody would want to be with me. Get the test out. They always talking about anybody want to be with me. You should be glad to be with me. That's not the person you want to be with. You tell that person, so what the way you dress? So what the kind of shoes you got on? Are you going to be patient? Are you going to be kind and considerate? You see, love also is not proud. It does not look down upon others. But we have some folks in relationships that's always looking down at other people. Maybe we've been in that relationship, we're walking down the street, we so in love, and we turn our heads, we say, we not like them. You see that couple over there? We not like them. We not like them over there. We the best couple in the whole world. Love is not proud. It does not look down upon others. It never says bad things about other people. Then it goes on to say, love is not self-seeking. That's another way of saying selfish. Love is not selfish. But guess what, saints? All of us in this room today are selfish people. We're always about the me, 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 the I. And when we look at our relationships, are we willing to put another person's needs first? Are we willing to say, it's what you want today and not what I want? You see, love is not selfish. It's not about me. It's about us and both of us. This is my favorite one because I struggle with it. Love is not easily angered. Boy, how many of us in our relationships can say that we've used the words frustrated? We've used the words upset. We use the words that you have pushed me to the point of no return, and I am about to go off on you. You see, when someone's using those types of words, we are not being loving. It says love is not easily angered. Doesn't say love never gets angry, because we get angry. Says love is not easily angered. So that every time someone comes in the room and does one little thing, you going off the hook. Flying off on them. They can't even get in the house real good before we yelling and screaming. Then it says love keeps no record of wrongdoings. Here's the big one for all of us, amen. We all got that. Remember when you did such and such? Remember when you didn't come pick me up on time? Remember when you left your clothes all over the floor? Remember when you told me you was going to do this and you didn't do that? Remember all those remember whens? It says love keeps no record of wrongdoing. When something happens, we forgive, we let it go, and we move on. Most of us forgive, then we keep reminding the person of how badly they hurt us and all the things that they've done to us. But it says love does not keep record of wrongdoings. Then it says love does not delight in evil. And you may be wondering, how does this work, Pastor Kelly? Love does not delight in evil. But if you've ever been in a relationship where someone is asking you to do things that are not of God, that is delighting in evil. You see, premarital sex is delighting in evil. Fornication is delighting in evil. Porn is delighting in evil. You see, many couples will get together and say, it's okay, we're watching it together. But that is delighting in evil. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love wants you to want Jesus. Look at the word truth. And remind ourselves, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Love rejoices with Jesus is another way of looking at that. Love wants us to want Jesus. So that is the biggest question of asking someone that you're in a relationship with. Do you care about my relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you want me to know Jesus? Better yet, do you know Jesus? You see, saints, if we ask that one question, when we say, hi, what's your name? And you say, my name is Kelly. And then you say, well, what's your name? And they say, my name is Terrence. And you say, Terrence, do you know Christ? If they back off on you, say, oh, I don't want to hear that. It's time to walk away. But if they start coming to you, yeah, I know Jesus. It's time to start doing that Holy Ghost dance. Because Jesus might have brought somebody into your life that's right for you today. Love always protects. It always protects. Love looks at you and knows you have this big heart. And it values that heart and wants to value that heart with you and keep you safe. Love always trusts. And it's hard to trust each other because you see, saints, we are some selfish people and we do some wrong things. And when people hurt us, the first thing that we then begin to do after we put our heart on the line is now we're trying to guard our heart and we don't want to trust anybody anymore. But you see, if we guard our heart first, then we're able to trust people. Love always hopes. Always hopes. You see, saints, sometimes we may be thinking right now, especially if we're already in a relationship, we may be thinking, oh my God, Pastor Kelly, we failed that test a long time ago. We've been married 20 years. What am I going to do? But you see, saints, this test isn't to encourage those of us that are already in a relationship to go running. This is to say, love always hopes. You see, if we got it wrong at the beginning and we're already married, this is our point and our opportunity to start all over again. To confess and say, you know what? When we first met, we didn't do things right. We got married. We still didn't do things right. But now we know and we're going to start doing things right from this day forward. You see, love always hopes. It always perseveres. And that's encouragement to us that are already in relationships. Don't give up today. Don't give up today. Maybe you might give up next year, but don't give up today. You see, this is the day that you can keep persevering and have that fresh start. Yes, your relationship may be rocky right now, but the only reason it's going to stay rocky is if you don't do anything about it. Love always perseveres. And then we end with love never fails. Love never fails. Now that may be hard to imagine, especially when we go forward in a series and we're going to be talking about divorce and we're going to be talking about the deeper issues of marriage and we're going to be talking about being a single person. But you see, saints, when you truly love someone, you can even love them in the midst of the toughest issues in your life. Love never fails. And we may be sitting here looking at this test again. How can we even pass this test? Sometimes it's hard to love our children this way. Sometimes it's hard to love our parents this way. How can we pass this test? And you may be motivated and you may say, Pastor Kelly, I'm just going to go home today. I'm going to try harder. But I'm telling you right now, you cannot try harder. There is nothing we can try. We cannot try hard enough. The only way that we can pass this test is when we yield our lives to Christ. When we finally say, Lord Jesus, I cannot do this on my own. I don't know how to love the person that I'm in love with. And I know that they don't know how to love me the way I need to be loved. But Lord, I'm yielding myself to you. Take hold of my heart. And we say, here I am, God, use me. Transform me today. And make me into the loving person that you created me to be. Saints, today God is asking us to guard our hearts and begin waiting for him to make that process of change in our lives. Let us pray. Hallelujah. 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 Gracious God, we thank you for our lives, and we thank you for those that you have allowed us to love. And gracious God, it has not been easy some days loving people. And we've fallen in love time and time again. And we thought, Lord, that you had sent us the person that was the answer in our lives. But then when we saw that person deeply, we realized that maybe we had made a mistake. Gracious God, help us to see love through your eyes. Help us to begin to have a fresh start, to persevere, to make things right in our relationships, and to do what you are calling us to do. And we thank you, Lord, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.